Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Now let's go into the service for today's message.
I'm going to start this message this morning. Well, it's actually a continuation of a series of talks that we've been having here at Gateway City Church called Greater. And we're talking about God's greater power, God's greater love. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. And understanding that if God is great, then life can be great. And that the bigger your God is, the bigger your concept of God, the greater your life can be. If you have a little tiny view of God, God is small and He doesn't really do much and He's far away and He's not really involved, then life is pretty lonely. But if you have a great big God, who has power, and He loves us, and He cares deeply about the circumstances that we face. If that's the kind of God we have, then our lives can get greater and greater. So that's what we're talking about, and today I want to keep talking about that theme of God's greatness and His goodness connected to the power of the Lord and the power of the Holy Spirit in the area of revelation. Everyone say revelation. So let's look at a scripture, Ephesians chapter 1, and we've got this on the screen. And by the way, you've got your teaching handout there if you want to jot down a few notes. This will help you to keep track of what we said. Maybe come back, look at it with your small group, look at it in your personal devotions. But here's Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16 through 19. Paul the Apostle says, "I always remember you in my prayers. I pray that the glorious Father, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, would give you a spirit of wisdom and," what, everyone? Revelation. So Paul is praying, watch this, he's praying and he's saying, "I pray that you'll get something called revelation." Now that's interesting. If Paul wants us to have that, maybe we ought to have it. So we go on and we continue to read. He says, "This revelation will come as you know Christ better. Then you will have a deeper insight. You will know the confidence that He calls you to have and the glorious wealth that God's people will inherit. You will also know the unlimited greatness of His power as it works with might and strength for us, the believers." So I know this is kind of a mouthful. As in traditional Paul style, he's got these really forceful, strong sentences that you kind of have to read and then maybe go back and take a bite at a time. Here's what Paul is saying. He's saying, "I'm praying for all believers, and I'm praying that all believers would get revelation in their life, because when they get revelation in their life, they're going to find insight, they're going to find confidence, they're going to experience wealth, and they're going to experience power." Now, let me ask you a question this morning. May 8th, 2016, does anybody here need insight? Does anybody here need greater confidence in your life? Who here needs wealth and God's provision and what God has provided for us? Three of you. Thank you for your enthusiasm. I appreciate that. Who here needs wealth? Whoa! And he says you're also going to experience additional spiritual power in your life. In other words, when you pray, things are going to move. Now, that's something I'm very interested in. And that's why I want to share this verse with you. And I want to talk to you this morning a little bit on the subject of the Holy Spirit and revelation and faith, because the more revelation that we get in our lives, the more faith, the more confidence, the more spiritual power, and the more results and the more blessings we're going to experience in our lives. So we need revelation, but what is it? What is revelation? Well, it sounds like a kind of an ethereal term, but don't be misled. It's a very simple concept. Revelation is simply a discovering things that were previously hidden. To reveal, revelation, to pull back the curtain and show and see something that you haven't seen before. What Paul is saying is there is a spiritual, like, anointing. There's a place of blessing that God has for us where we live life in a constant stream of discovery, We're always learning. We're always growing. We're finding new things, things that we didn't know, things we're seeing, things that we hadn't previously seen. And so a spiritual life, a life that's following Christ, is a life that is constantly discovering new things. And that discovery process is called revelation. God shows us things. He has a way of helping us and getting information to us that we need so that life isn't boring, it's not flat, it's not constant cycle of the same old, same old. When you live a life of revelation, you start entering into an exciting kind of life where you're discovering things and learning and growing in the spiritual side of your life. And, you know, today is Mother's Day, and this whole issue of revelation, I think, kind of is something that women understand very, very well. Women have amazing intuition. They know certain things. They just know. And you don't know how they know, but they know. I mean, it seems like mothers in particular can know what their children have been doing. How many of you experienced that in your life? The other day, my wife said to me, she was looking at Facebook, and she looked at somebody's picture, a young lady, and she said, "She's pregnant." And I said, "How do you know? Did she post that she's pregnant?" She said, "No, I can just see by the look in her eyes." I said, "Come on, that's black magic now. Stop. That's you don't know that." And she said, "No, a woman just knows." And wouldn't you know it, just about a week later, it was announced by that very same gal, "We're expecting a baby." How did she know? How do you ladies know stuff like that? It's kind of unsettling to me. It's a little bit nerve-wracking to know that women have access to information that that is not actually widely known. But that's a way of understanding revelation. Now, women's intuition is one thing, but the revelation of the Holy Spirit, that's something even deeper and stronger. That ability to pick up things that you didn't know, but God showed them to you. He reveals them to you. Imagine how your life could change for the better if you had an increase of revelation, for example, in your work life. What if God was showing you about things about your career that would enable you to advance in an amazing way? How would your marriage be different if God was giving you information about how to solve problems together and how to be closer together and how to resolve conflicts and all that? In every area of our life, we go to another level when we start learning and discovering from the Holy Spirit the things that He wants us to know. I was reading the other day about George Washington Carver. George Washington Carver, you may know from history, he was a creative genius. This man invented crop rotation and actually discovered 300 uses for the peanut. I can't think of two uses for a peanut. One is you eat it raw, one is you make peanut butter out of it. That's all I got. But he came up with 300 uses for the peanut. And how many have heard of George Washington Carver? He was a friend of Thomas Edison. He was a friend of Henry Ford. He was a friend of three American presidents, and actually his inventions and his creative genius literally saved the South, the economy of the South, because of his inventions after the Civil War. And his inventions swept the South and bolstered the economy of the South after the devastation of the Civil War. So how does the son of a slave become such a creative genius? How does he accomplish all these incredible things? How did he end up in our history books? Well, I'd like to read you from his journal, and he'll explain to you that he's a person that experienced revelation. Let me read this to you. He says, "There is literally nothing that I ever wanted to do, that I asked the blessed Creator to help me to do, that I have not been able to do. It's all very simple. If one knows how to talk to the Creator, it is simply seeking the Lord and finding Him. All my life, I have risen regularly at 4 o'clock in the morning and have gone into the woods and talked with God. There, He gives me my orders for the day. When people are still asleep, I hear God best and I learn my plan for the day. After my morning's talk with God, I go into my laboratory and begin to carry out His wishes for my day. Now you say, he sounds like a crazy person. But we know George Washington Carver was not crazy. And by the way, it's not crazy to talk to God, and it's not crazy to listen to God. Actually, God loves us so much that he wants to communicate with us. That's a shocking reality, isn't it? God loves us and he wants to talk to us. He wants relationship with us. And so George Washington Carver said, I bring God into my work life. I pray about the things that I'm working on. And he became like this creative genius through that. And what I'm saying is that same Holy Spirit activity, the same thing that Paul was praying that every Christian would experience, the same thing that George Washington Carver experienced, is something that's available to each and every one of us. If we'll come close to God and talk to God. Now, God will talk to us about our work life. He'll talk to us about our family life. And he'll talk to us about all kinds of things, especially the spiritual side of our life. This is exactly what Jesus told us the Holy Spirit would do. Now, I love to talk about the Holy Spirit. And so let me give you this verse here, John 14, verse 26. This is what Jesus said about how we would experience the Holy Spirit. He said, but the helper, everyone say helper. Aren't you glad God is there to help you? I mean, I like having a helper in my life. I need help. Somebody said, I know that, all right? But it's true. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. In other words, Jesus says, look, I'm leaving, I'm going to the Father, which he did after he died on the cross and he rose from the dead. Then 50 days later, he ascended to heaven. But he comforted the disciples and he said this, though you don't see me anymore, I'm sending the Holy Spirit to you. And he's going to talk to you. He's going to help you. He's going to get you the information that you need. It will be as though I myself was there. And so we find that in opening our hearts to the Holy Spirit, saying, Holy Spirit, I want to be teachable. Holy Spirit, I want you to show me things that I need to see, to give me that confidence, to give me that wealth, to give me that spiritual power that I need in my life. You say, my life is flat. It's just like a can of soda that's been open too long. There's no fizz. There's no bubble. There's nothing going on. There's nothing. You need the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. You need things to start bubbling up on the inside of you, creativity and joy and faith. And that doesn't mean you're not going to have problems in your life, because you are. But right in the middle of that problem, God can be bringing hope, like a well of hope can just rise up in you as God gives you insight and understanding how to get through your marriage problem, how to deal with a situation at work, how God can give you an answer. Can you imagine, ladies and gentlemen, can you imagine how exciting life gets when God starts making you into like a spiritual George Washington Carver? You become a creative person. You become a person that is not worried that you don't have the answer yet, because you know God is going to help you get the answer. And so I think this is important, not just for our own lives personally. I mean, we're talking marriage issues. We're talking financial issues, workplace issues and all that. I mean, God is there for us in all these ways. The Holy Spirit is there. But also to be in us corporately as a church, a spirit of revelation. Because when Paul talked to the church at Ephesus, he says, I'm praying for you all. I'm not just praying for each one to receive something. I'm praying for you as a church to be filled with revelation. Because when a church, when a Christian community is a church that says, we're not just going to read, you know, somebody else's plan for us. We're not going to read some journal or some magazine or something to figure out what we should do. We're not going to look at the church we came from to figure out, well, here's what we ought to do because here's how we did it 30 years ago. When a church says, we're not going to lean on all that, we're going to say, God, will you talk to us about how we can be effective in completing our mission? When that begins to happen, brothers and sisters, it will be the churches that are the George Washington Carvers of society. In other words, the churches will be solving the problems of children without parents. God will be giving us the secrets and the answers. How many understand what I'm saying? It'll be the churches that are discovering the ways to reform society and bring a need to broken and hurting people, to bring help and healing. It'll be the church that'll be the fountainhead of solutions in the earth. And this, I think, is so very important for the kind of a church that we are. For we're a church that is not looking necessarily to tradition. We're not necessarily looking to the past. We're not looking to see what the other church on the other side of town is doing for our inspiration. What we are doing, actually, literally, as a church, is we are saying, Lord, teach us, speak to us, reveal to us what you have for us. And as we do that, I believe God is going to give us answers that will heal our city and will make people's lives better. Does anybody here agree with that? Because we're talking about revelation, God's ability to get us the information, to get us the assignments, to put us on the tasks that will make the most difference in the earth. Revelation is important, not just for people as individuals, but for churches. And I think this is what Jesus was describing. One day they were way up in the north in Caesarea Philippi. I've been there four times. It's an amazing place. The very famous place where Jesus had a conversation with the disciples. Maybe you remember this story from reading the Gospels. I want to share it with you again. It starts in Matthew chapter 16. And so let me share it with you that Jesus, so the question is, did Jesus ever talk about revelation? Did Jesus ever say anything about this? Let's read this story kind of with new eyes, okay? Let's see it as though we've never seen it before. Jesus asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, watch this, because he got it right. This was a great moment for Simon Peter. He said, you are the Christ. You're the Messiah. You're the one that the prophets have been foretelling would come. You are our coming king, right? You're our Messiah, the Son of the living God. Now, Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. You got it right. For flesh and blood has not what? Okay, so is Jesus talking about revelation? He is. He says, Peter, you got the answer right. You knew this answer. And he said, you didn't get it from people. You didn't read this on the internet. You didn't get this from a friend. You didn't copy this out of somebody else's homework. You got this answer directly because God showed you who I was. Peter, God revealed this to you, right? And now here's what makes this powerful. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven is the one that revealed this to you. And I also say to you that you are Peter. And on this rock, everyone say this rock. On this rock, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Stop right there. On this rock, I will build my church. What is the rock? What is the rock that Jesus will build an unstoppable church on? What's the foundation that literally will make sure that the church never fails and always remains unstoppable? Well, if you ask our Catholic friends, they will say that Peter is the rock. And you can kind of look at that and say, well, I see where they might, you know, they have a special affection for Peter, so Peter must be the rock. But then if you ask our reforming fathers down through the centuries, the great reformers will say, well, it wasn't Peter, but maybe it was Peter's faith. Maybe it was his confession of faith that he said, you are the Christ. And on the confession that you are the Christ, the church will be built. Now, I don't want to start a new church over this one. Please believe me. I think we'll just kind of everybody stay cool. But here's what I think. Look at this. He says, I say to you, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father is in heaven. Peter, you caught something from the Father. And it came to you not from people. It came by the Holy Spirit into your life. And I say to you, on this rock of revelation, this rock of the ability to hear things from God, to be led by God. That is the foundation upon which the church will be built. Now, what kind of church will come out of Revelation? Let's continue in the 16th chapter of Matthew. He says, "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." In other words, Peter, I'm giving you authority. When you hear from me, you have authority to move in an unstoppable way. You will be able to loose things. You will be able to bind things. In other words, Peter, you will have spiritual power. The church will have spiritual power because they're hearing from me. Now, my question for us is this. Why don't churches have more spiritual power? Why aren't we seeing more miracles? Why aren't we as individual Christians, why aren't we experiencing more power where we're able to bind and loose and be unstoppable in our life? I think it's because we need to bring up our revelation factor. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to inspire us, to speak to us, and to direct us. Let me tell you something as a parent. Let me talk to all you parents. You need God's guidance in your life. What you're doing is super important. The decisions that you're helping your children to make, the lessons that you are teaching your children have got to be hot off the Holy Spirit press. They've got to have the touch of God on them. You need that. You people that are in careers, you're teachers, you're in government, you're in business, you need God's revelation to help you. Because the marketplace is a crazy, crazy place. Conditions are changing and industries are changing and the marketplaces are changing. And you've got to have God's help and guidance in your life. Whatever you are doing becomes stronger and becomes unstoppable when you are allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to you just as Jesus said he would. So we become prophetic people. We become revelation people. And the power starts to grow and increase in our lives. How many understand what I'm talking about this morning? I'll give you a quick story. This just happened last Sunday. We're talking about revelation. We're talking about God giving us plans and giving us success. Last Sunday, we had a beautiful set of services. Well, it started, my day started at 8 a.m., quite a bit before 8 a.m. in preparation, but then we had a board meeting with our corporate officers from 8 to 9 o'clock, and we had some pressing business that we had to take care of, and then we had our first service. In our first service, I think, 60 or 70 elders were installed in the first service, and there was also prophetic ministry here for some of our Bible school students, and we had a guest speaker, David Keitley. It was a beautiful service. Then we had the second service, and in the second service, more people were ministered to prophetically, and we had six or seven new leaders in our church ordained, fully ordained into the ministry. It's a beautiful, beautiful service. And after the service, after all that happened and it was a Holy Spirit time, then I took our guest out and entertained him for lunch, and we had some personal time together. We said goodbye. Then I went home to my home in Morgan Hill. Kathy and I drove home, and I had to rush home and get right on a conference call for a church that I helped to give oversight to in Hawaii. They were having a board meeting, an emergency board meeting. They asked me to Skype into the board meeting so that I could talk with the board members. There had been some sexual brokenness in one of the leaders, and it was causing a problem in the church, and they were looking for answers. So we're talking. We had a 90-minute board meeting. And by the end of all of that, I mean, that's a full day. I'm not like a superhero. I'm just a normal person, right? At the end of all of that, I was tired. And I'd love to be able to say to you, you know, when all that was over, I just felt like having a special prayer meeting. Or you know, I just wanted to read my Bible, you know, or something like that. But that isn't where I was. I was tired, and I turned on the television. I wanted to watch the news programs and see what Donald Trump was talking about and see what everybody's doing. I just needed some laughs, and I needed some inspiration. You know, I just needed a distraction, right? I'm sitting there. I'm just watching the news program. Not feeling particularly holy, not feeling particularly revelatory. I'm thinking all my Holy Spirit stuff is behind me, and now I'm just going to relax, right? And And this word, this Bible word, kept coming into my mind. Coming again and again. And I'm trying to watch television. And I don't know if you've ever had this experience of just feeling prompted. So finally, I think, well, I don't know what's happening here, but I need to look this word up. So I look this word up, and boom, this whole plan unfolds from the scripture to me about touching cities, how we as a church cannot just touch one city, but how we can begin to touch multiple cities. This whole thing starts to unfold, and God is giving to me, and I'm writing it down, and probably within like an hour and 15 minutes, I have this complete vision from the Lord about touching cities and planting churches and some things that I want to share with you about 3 or 4 weeks from now. I'm going to cook it up a little bit. It's like an Italian sauce. You can't serve it too soon. You got to let it cook. You got to let it mellow. So I'm working on this, and I'm talking to our leaders, and I'm fixing it up, and I'm going to share it with you pretty soon. But it's a beautiful plan for touching cities. How many are excited to hear that? But here's what I'm saying. If that plan is God, if that was a God thing, and we actually start to do a God plan, and we go from touching one city, for example, to touching many more than one city, then that's how the kingdom of God advances. Does anybody understand what I'm talking about? And what did that come from? That doesn't come from my IQ. That doesn't come from David Canastracy, the holy man who was seeking God and, you know, the blue flames from heaven came down. That actually came because the Lord came, knocked me on the head and said, hey, listen up. I want to show you something. Not now, Lord, I'm watching TV. And God in his mercy just drops this thing down into my spirit, and it could give guidance to us and direction to us for years and years to come. And it could mean thousands of people coming to Christ. Here's what I'm saying. How exciting would your life be if you turned up the revelation factor? Would it be for you exactly what Paul said? Would it be for you that you would have more confidence, that you would have more access to the wealth of God, that you would walk in more clarity and even more spiritual power? I believe that this is where God wants to take us as a people. I believe this is where we need to be as a church, and I want us to pray together this morning. I want us to ask the Holy Spirit to turn up the revelation factor in our life, because you're facing issues and you have responsibilities, and God is going to speak to you. He is going to help you. Amen. Can we pray together? I'm just going to stop the message right here. I want to just invite our worship team just to come. I have so much more to share, and sometimes this happens to me. I prepare more information than I can possibly share, but I think we're where we need to be. I think we're right where we need to be. How many of you are hungry for more of God? And you just say, Holy Spirit, I'm tired of living just that flat, same old experience, same marriage problem, same work problem, year after year. It just seems like it never changes, it never moves. Same thoughts tormenting me. Lord, I want to go to a new place. Just bow your heads right now. Just everybody bow. I want to just take a minute and pray for you. Father, I pray that you will break the cycles, break the monotony of what sometimes can become so dull and so powerless. Lord, I pray that you would begin to infuse a breakthrough spirit into our lives. I pray, Lord, that like George Washington Carver just got secrets from God. He just listened to God and God helped him to come up with solutions. Lord, I pray that you, by the Holy Spirit, just as Jesus said, would begin to give Holy Spirit answers to the biggest challenges and problems that we're facing in our lives. Lord, open our Holy Spirit channel. Tune us into our Holy Spirit frequency. Keep us, Lord, from mixture. Keep us from false information. But Lord, turn up the information channels in us, Lord. Give us revelation, I pray. We invite you, Holy Spirit. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and speak to us, talk to us, and lead us and guide us. Hallelujah. Amen. Can we sing that song? Are we ready, guys? Let's sing, Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Hallelujah.
Holy Spirit, you are welcomed here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere.
Yes, Lord.
Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be
our friends on the prayer team to come. We have a few elders and pastors and intercessors that are just going to take their place here at the front of the auditorium. Maybe you came today and you say, you know, I just really need to talk to somebody. I need someone to pray for me. I came with a need. I came with a burden. Maybe you came today and you're not totally sure if you're saved and on your way to heaven. You shouldn't leave this auditorium today wondering if you're right with God. We want to take a minute. We want to pray with you. If you need healing prayer, we want to talk to you and pray for you just for a few moments here at the front. After the dismissal, you can come and receive prayer. But I'd like to make a prediction, a Holy Spirit prediction about the coming days and weeks in your life. Would you receive it if I made that? I prophesy and declare to you that as you draw closer to the Holy Spirit, as you open up your heart and welcome God into the spiritual side of your life more and more, that the toughest problems of your life are going to melt like wax. That the most difficult questions, the things that have been nagging you, the marriage issue, the workplace issue, the health issue, that God is going to take care of that. He's going to reveal His solutions for you. He has an answer for you. And believe me, there's no problem that God cannot solve. Now, if you're looking to me to solve your problem, we're both in trouble. But if you're looking to God, He is able to solve your problem. So I want to declare that for you, and I want you just to walk into this week that's coming up with a little bit more faith, a little bit more expectation of good things that God's going to do, because there are answers and solutions for you. Don't give up. Don't be discouraged and say, man, life just isn't working. It will work if you give it to God. Do you receive that? Everyone say, my life will work if I give it to God. All right, we're going to pray. And whether today is your first time here, whether you've ever prayed before or you've been following Christ for years and years and years, we have a prayer that we're going to put up on the screen. I want to invite you to say this prayer. Let this come from your heart to God. Really, talk to God. This is a prayer that will help you reach out to Him and receive this revelation in your life. So let's say it together. Here we go. Father God, thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. I ask you for greater revelation and faith in every area of my life. Teach me to believe you when times are tough. Empower me to live in the fullness of your kingdom and blessing every day in Christ's name. Amen. Now just lift your hands and receive my blessing. Father, with the power of the Holy Spirit, with the authority that you've given to me, I bless your people. I speak prosperity. I speak confidence. I speak revelation. I speak joy and solutions over their life. Over beginning today, Lord, even when they don't expect it, drop answers from heaven down on them. Give them wisdom and revelation as Paul prayed. And Lord, let it be done for the sake and glory of Jesus Christ. And in His name we ask this. And everyone said, amen. God bless you, everyone. Thank you for coming to Gateway. It's been awesome to be together. And if you need prayer, you can come right now and just have a brief moment of prayer. And if you're new in the church and you don't want to join me for a quick bite and a little bit of a hello and a shake hands, over there in room 201, we're meeting with all the newcomers. God bless you. I'll be there in 2 minutes.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with Him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our pastors is ready to assist you. Again, the number for Gateway City Church is 408-281-7900. Thank you for listening. If you are ever in the San Jose area, please join us and find out what so many have already discovered. Gateway City Church really is an exciting church that loves life, loves people, and loves God.